This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Live from the Tokyo Dome Hotel, this is Baseball Outside the Box.
Welcome. And The Bottom Line with Carlucci Broadcast International, a double play.
And we want to welcome all our guests from around the world and also from the United States of America. Welcome to Baseball Outside the Box. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo, Michael Carlucci, and our special guest, Enrique Burgos. We want to tell you a little bit about our guest, and we'll get started with the show. But before we do, don't forget baseballoutsidethebox.com. Check it out. Spread the word. We're on social media, Baseball Out. We're on Twitter, Facebook. We're all over. Help us get the show around the world, so we appreciate it. And let me tell you about Enrique a little bit. Former Major League pitcher with Kansas City and San Francisco. By the way, he played in Taiwan. We were just sitting here in the lobby, and the Taiwan baseball team is heading to the Tokyo Dome to practice. Enrique played several years in Taiwan, then signed with the Kansas City Royals, only played 3 months in the minor leagues, ended up then going right to the big leagues. And currently also with us here with the WBSC Premier 12, the top international tournament in the world, the top 12 baseball countries. Mm-hmm. We're on the technical committee of the WBSC. It's a great honor for us to be here, and we're excited about not only watching the rest of the event, but also participating in this great podcast. It's going to be a great show. Let's welcome Mr. Enrique Burgos. Enrique, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, really good. It's a good pleasure to be here with you guys, and especially do this interview.
Yeah, and we must say, my partner, if we laugh, because folks, we've been laughing the whole time here, because you got to have fun doing these shows.
When you travel 12,000 miles away, if you ain't laughing, you ain't having fun, right? You ain't living, man.
Last night, with 31,800, I believe, and 77,000 fans, mm-hmm. the PA announcer for our event, the former New York Yankees and Los Angeles Dodgers PA announcer, just a fantastic voice. We were downstairs. You could hear it throughout the stadium. Top notch. And I bet you had a lot of fun up there, huh, Michael?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Little cramped quarters. You know, remember in Japan, everything's, built tall, but, because they got so many people. So things are, they're known for getting as much you can in a small space. So, but nice people, good comfort, nice. Yeah, it's been fantastic.
And that's what I wanted to ask both of you guys. Japan, just an awesome place. Enrique, you played in Taiwan, but Japan also a great place for baseball.
Oh, excellent place. Especially like the fields. The everything inside the stadium, they work really well. One thing I like in this tournament, and we're talking about, that's the way that the little kids, the bad boys, going to the field.
Yeah, we talked about that at
that
practice.
Thing.
I mean, at breakfast. Tell
exactly.
The folks. Tell the folks what they told you, how they get these bad boys.
Well, I asked the bad boys how to get this job, and they said they have the tryouts. So that means they know how they're going to do it, how they're going to grab the bat, how they have the post to run. And what I like most is they spring from here to there to here. They don't walk. So I like that.
It's kind of like training PA announcers.
you got to go to a camp. It's like bat boy camp. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
High instructors to what do you have to do? Pick up the ball, pick up the bat, right?
Helmet. It's interesting. I laugh about it and I kid about it, but it's no different than I was at one of the practices and also the games, and I'm thinking to myself, we've got, when it comes to international teams, everybody has different cultures, right? And at the WBSC, we have high standards, mm-hmm. things that you must do, prior mm-hmm. to games, during the game. There's certain things that maybe some cultures do differently in their country. If I was a manager, coach, one of the things I would do first is I would make sure I understand all the different, rules and regulations.
Exactly.
I would have in my practice games, I would institute the same thing we're doing here with our protocols, whether it's national anthems, whether it's how we go out to the field, how we stand, mm-hmm. everything that needs to be prepared to be able to do it here. So when you come here, it's second nature, and yeah. the players already know how to handle it.
Right. It is one thing, when you ask me how things are going in the booth, what we're reading, our scripts and stuff like that, I do notice the Japanese announcements. If there's a foul ball, they every time they will warn the fans: be alert, cautious.
That's correct.
United States, you do it before the game, and that's it. You don't have to keep reminding them. But here in Japan, they're very safety conscious, which is good.
Yeah,
safety cautious. You know what's going on. Keep stay alert. In fact, there's a section of the stadium. I don't know if you saw it, Enrique. There's that one area where they wear helmets. You have to wear a helmet as a fan.
They give them a glove.
They give a helmet as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. So there you go. So
you know, and the thing about the Japanese folks, if you've been here, you know, just not in baseball, but even in ordinary life, they seem to be like three steps ahead. They're always thinking ahead. Their attention to detail is incredible. I mean, think about it. They whistle, so that way you're aware of a foul ball. I mean, they always think of something different to make sure it's. They were interviewed. Now think about this. Not to scare anybody, but you know the Mexican team was on the field or in the dugout, and they're hearing all this noise in the bleachers. Well, it's the announcer practicing, the real announcer for Japan. You know, announcing earthquake. I mean, imagine that one. Preparing for earthquake. The fans and the people are coming down. The ushers are coming down. There's nobody in the stands, and they're practicing how they're going to evacuate everybody.
Yeah, always prepping, always over rehearsing, always practicing. Yeah. But hey. Very, you know, they want to be cautious. You know, they want to make sure that they're over prepared. They got more people like United States, maybe in South America, the Latin America countries. You know, they have less people to handle those jobs. Here in Japan, they're over, so let's say for two, they'll have 20.
Yeah.
And they got people trained and ready to go, over rehearsing, over training, you know what's going on from head to toe. And
it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, but.
Lots to learn from here.
Yeah. And I had to read a little safety precaution thing about the earthquakes where evacuation areas, tell the, you know, the fans, the ones that speak English, to where to go. But
Enrique, let's jump a little bit here and talk about what you're doing with Major League Baseball. And one thing I didn't mention was Enrique is with Major League Baseball. He's a pitching instructor, handling all the work in Brazil. So tell us a little bit about kind of what, you know, Brazilian baseball, and then also a little bit about the academy, what's going on there, because it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, they start in 2017. MLB plus the Brazil Federation. So we have, they have a nice facility. They have three big stadiums. They have two little ones, I mean, for the little leagues. Mm-hmm. And plus they have a restaurant, cafeteria. They have dorms, a huge batting cage. We have a indoor bullpen. So when this rain, we can still practice. You know, the facility is real good. So MLB wants to grow the baseball in Brazil. You know, everybody knows every time you talk about Brazil, you come to your mind, football.
Sure, sure.
I mean, soccer. That's what you guys say. Yeah. In Spanish, we say football, right?
Yeah.
And everybody think about soccer, but they have a good talent of baseball there. So MLB plus the Federation get together, and they started to do the academy. We have 47 kids. Mm. From 13 to 16, we prepare this kid for the national tournaments, maybe college education in the States, and plus for the professional baseball, you know? And so far in 3 years, we signed 17 players come out from
Type 17.
Yeah. Get used to it.
17 players.
Yeah, 17 players. Out of those 70 players, 15 pitchers, so Brazil have good arms, you know.
Are they actually Brazilian blood native, or is there Japanese Brazilian? Because in 2005, the World Cup, they put a team together for Brazil, but they're all Japanese descent, raised in Brazil. Like there's names like Jose Suzuki and Gonzalo Hamasaki, because of the Japanese descent.
Exactly.
So is that kind of what you're dealing with, or are you dealing with actually Brazilian?
Oh, we do with both.
Okay.
You know, but pitchers, now the pitchers, I would say like 90% of the pitchers, they're Brazilian, 100%.
100% blood.
100% blood Brazilian.
Okay.
Right? The position players, most Japanese
descent. Okay.
You know, and that's a great point. And folks, just so you know, we're talking about a tremendous amount of experience here between both Michael and Enrique when it comes to the game of baseball. You guys have seen baseball all over the world, and obviously in the U.S. a lot. When you have, why do you think the Japanese are more position players and the pitchers happen to be Brazilian?
But I don't.
What are you seeing? Are you seeing difference in
the
body
size?
The size.
That's big difference because we have those Brazilian guys 6 feet, 5, 6'4", 6'3", but we see those Japanese, you know,
shorter. Sure.
And the Brazilians, I notice because they work out, they really work out a lot. They put a lot of bulk on, so they probably have big, strong legs, which are important, as you know, as a pitcher.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's probably why.
You know, we look for those guys who.
Yeah.
Big square shoulders.
Yeah.
And the Brazil guys have that.
Oh, interesting story. We had a breakfast just the other day. We were talking about that because I want our coaches to understand in the U.S., also around the world, especially, you know, that you're not born a pitcher. You know, you mentioned that you look for something. All of a sudden you said,
exactly.
Hey, guys, I want to see this kid pitch. Talk about a little bit about that.
Yeah. I've got to go back to Brazil after the tournament, because we had a tryout for the incoming kid for next year. So I don't look for the guy who throw 90 because we know, or I know, he's no kid who will throw 90 right away.
No.
But I look for the like big size, long arm, long legs, so we can work with him, you know, and make it better pitcher. So
development.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't look for the guy who throw 90 because.
Yeah, he might be all over.
They have a great mechanic.
Yeah.
So you saw.
We teach the mechanic. We teach it. We don't teach how to throw hard because there are the strengths there. But we work on the mechanic, and now he will be better.
And you saw like a player, and you told one of the coaches, "Hey, I want to see him pitch now," but he's not a pitcher, right? And what was the response of the coaches? Because right away they're not going to be. Wanting to do that right away, correct?
Yeah, exactly. You know, first I set aside. I don't know if he's a pitcher, catcher, outfield, but I like to see him pitching.
Yeah.
First, I say, okay, let me see the mechanic.
Give him a test, yeah.
Yeah. And I say, can I put him in the mound? And they say, he don't know how to pitch. You know, yeah, but that's why we're here. Because if you have somebody that already know how to pitch, I won't do anything because he know how to do it. So I need a kid that they don't know how to pitch, so I can teach them. I can teach the mechanic, and I know they have a good strength in their arm, so that's all I need. Because everything else, practice.
That'll be a big challenge for you, but exciting because now you're going, hey,
exactly.
I got to really get this guy on, get him on the right format.
Yeah.
And they've got 17 guys that have signed.
Guys.
Are they 17 pitchers?
15.
Are pitchers.
Pitchers.
Wow.
By the way, do you speak Portuguese?
A little bit.
To get enough to get by, right?
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Good, yeah.
You know, Portuguese and Spanish, it's almost the same.
Cross a little
sure.
bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And we have coaches from Brazil. They speak Spanish, Japanese they speak.
Yeah.
Spanish, Portuguese, English.
And how important is it to also educate the coaches, because you can't be there all the time, and you're not all over the country because you have an academy, they're coming to you. How important is it for you to work with coaches so they go back in their areas and train the pitchers correctly?
Yeah, that one thing that I was forgetting was that they don't want pitching coach in Brazil.
Wow.
That's why, like, when I ask, okay, can I see this kid in the mound?
Yeah.
That's when they tell me, no, he don't know how to pitch. Because they don't know how to teach the mechanic. So now, it's not because I'm there, but now we go there, and now all those pitches start coming up. A lot of pitchers. And when we have this tryout, everybody want to be a pitcher.
Yeah.
Because, like, right now they know all. All the guy who signs a pitcher, so I want to be a pitcher.
And once the kids see these kids sign, you know, they want to not only just pitch, but they want to play baseball more.
Exactly.
Because they got a chance. Because you told me there's, I think, 4 or 5 players in the major leagues right now from Brazil.
Exactly. And one thing is pitchers.
That's the name of the game.
Pitchers.
Yeah.
You know, they have, let me see if I can, Gohara, he played with Atlanta. I don't know the full name, so.
Mm-hmm.
Rienzo.
Lienzo, sure, Kansas
with
City.
And Vieira.
Yeah.
Vieira, that he was with White Sox, well, Seattle, and then go White Sox.
Now, as a pitcher, you know, you're probably 6'5", 6'6". You know, you pitch in the big leagues. There's some guys that you signed, I know, from Brazil just recently, a young man from 1.5, but he wasn't 6'4", 6'5".
Pardinho.
Yeah, Pardinho, but he can throw hard.
He can throw hard.
So what's the philosophy there? But it used to be you needed to be tall. Now you don't? What do you think? Is there an advantage or disadvantage to either one?
You know, when you, like, small guy, you have to do, like, three times the tall guy doing. Because this guy's only about 5'11", 5'10", but he throw 96.
Yeah.
And he throw a lot to strike. I worked with him 2 years. He maybe played, I would say, like, 25, 30 games. No walk at all.
Hmm.
It don't walk nobody. Yo, he could throw strike.
Yeah.
You know, that's impressive to see the kid like that. See, 15 years old, throw a lot of strike.
Absolutely.
And throw hard. I think he's the first kid that throw in the World Classic with 15 years old.
I remember in Brooklyn. Yes, yeah. I was in the Classic. I saw him there. And also, you know, you talk about, since you said that, you hear a lot of coaches nowadays, Michael, you've heard this. It's all about velocity. And we get it. If you throw fast, that, you know, the hitter has to react quicker and all that. But when you're young, you got to start off with what? I mean, you're talking about command, control, good movements.
Yeah.
Talk about the things that you work with the most with the pitchers first before you even get to velocity.
Well, first thing I do is work in the balance.
Mm.
Where, like, balance is important even for hitting, catch a ground ball,
sure.
Fly balls, because if you don't have that balance, you have nothing. So we start with the balance. That's the important thing with us is balance.
And balance, you know, where? Throughout the whole motion? Is there certain
through
points?
The whole motion. Because the first move you do when you're pitching, you need to have balance there. Even when, like, you step in the rubber, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because some kids, like, they step with the feet together.
Yeah.
If you don't have no balance there.
That's what I wanted to ask. Some of the things that maybe you see that they do incorrectly.
Exactly.
To not create balance.
Exactly. So that's what my first point. And after that,
well,
everything goes, como se dice, run through it.
Yeah, run smooth through it.
Exactly.
I like that. Como se dice. I can say that.
Yeah, como se dice.
No?
Yeah, Italian, too.
Absolutely.
And folks, you do have two Italians here, so once in a while you'll hear some Italian words. You might even eat pasta during the show once in a while.
Well, yeah, well, I almost got some on my shirt, you know. In fact, that used to be a white shirt. It's all pasta. Just put in the big jug of pasta sauce, you know. It's the sauce.
Michael, you've seen some great pitchers with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Were they always tall? I mean, all the guys were pretty much in the old days.
Yeah, well, you know what? There was one guy. Remember Mike Hampton?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I think he... Do you want to say?
Yeah,
he was left
hander,
but he was
right?
Like 5'9".
Yeah,
and then what's his name? Who's the closer? It was the Mets lefty, threw hard. I think it was his name here.
Grant Maddox
Wagner was
another one that threw hard.
Yeah,
wasn't very tall.
He was
tall.
Only 5'9", 5'10". So you
Maddox
couple,
wasn't that.
I think
tall.
It's just the upper. Oh, Maddox only 6 foot. Yeah,
yeah it wasn't
but I think
that.
it's the mechanics,
exactly,
discipline, knowing the zone, and then the upper body, and either upper body's great. Or it's the legs that are better than the upper body, meaning, you know, I mean, obviously you got to have strong legs to go 9 innings, you know, I mean, full, complete game. And being here in Japan, Hideo Nomo,
mm-hmm.
there was an interesting guy. I think he was like 6'1", 6'2", but his delivery was very, almost like he's balking, getting ready to throw a balk. Because that delivery, kind of a slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that, if you see something like that, do you frown on that kind of delivery?
Because
that could actually, in time.
Yeah, the Japanese even stop.
That's Japanese style.
Yeah, they even stop.
That would be good for shoulders and your hips would be kind of.
The difference is,
I think it's
you
bad,
see the legs of the Japanese pitchers.
Oh, yeah,
or
thick.
Even the Japanese players.
They're thick, every one of them.
Because they do more conditioning than us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's big different, the conditioning we do now than we do then. But here, oh, that's big different. They spend like maybe 2-3 hours running when they're training. Mm-hmm. You know, that's big different. Like when I play in Taiwan, they do the same.
What's the conditioning like with the academy in Brazil?
It's big different. They do some more like
swimming,
aerobics, yeah. You know, jumping jab. Mm-hmm. Because before, I remember when I played, we were in the grass.
Yeah.
Get down, stretching.
Stretching, yeah.
But now it's not stretching.
Movement.
It's movement.
A lot of movement.
Yeah. They're talking about moving, explosion, how to move your legs.
Strength while you move. You're
exactly.
Developing strength and flexibility,
yes,
as you move.
Yes, exactly.
You know, baseball, and we all know this, baseball is a game where you got to move fast. You know, you're standing still and then boom, you got to go. You know, you're standing still and you got to go. You got to be able to utilize those muscles fast.
Exactly, correct.
Yeah. How about, I've heard maybe swimming. Sometimes I get into the pool and kind of. Use that little, the rubber stretch machine, you know, for the shoulders and stuff. So
that's a good workout.
Yeah,
but
maybe it might create an injury because you're over flexing yourself. Stretching too much maybe.
But when you in the off season, you can do that. A lot of swimming,
mm-hmm.
like it's good. Like roll, go to the beach and run in the water. What did he say?
Yeah.
That's good.
That's really, really good. You get a lot of power.
Running in the sand, that would be very good.
Yep.
And since we're on conditioning, little shout out to our good friend, Jeff Crochelle, the Crusher, who Enrique works with, because Jeff is also in Major League Baseball. Check out his podcast, you know, the Crush Performance. Fantastic podcast. But Jeff goes down to Brazil. He's all over the world, but he goes to Brazil to work with all the players. And exactly what we're talking about is the conditioning
aspect.
Exactly,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he might be go in a couple of days in Brazil. I don't know if I'm not for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe when I go back to Brazil, he's there because he had to prepare the kid for the next year.
They have a whole program. They're talking about, you know, also trying to educate the coaches.
Exactly.
That program. So that way they can follow the players to make sure that they're doing it correctly.
Correct.
I mean, this is, you know, Major League Baseball's taken a very serious look at Brazil and put a lot of money into Brazil now. So obviously with 17 players, they saw potential there.
Yeah.
And we have another academy in different countries. We have in Curaçao, Nicaragua, Puerto Rico, and one in South Africa too.
Talk to our coaches around the world. Let's jump back a little bit to the balance. When you have a player that they're struggling with their balance, what are some of the things you might do? Some drills or some exercises? And I know it's we're on video here, so you can show a little bit here. We're on our podcast with just all audio. But give an example a little bit about what you do when they have problems with the balance.
Okay, the first thing we do is tell the kid to learn how to get to the X point. We call it X point. Because when you lift your leg, you had to go drop down, and that's where you find your X point. Each pitcher has your different one.
Your landing point.
Not landing. That's when you have the balance.
Okay.
We call it X point because you leave your legs, drop it, but you have to drop it all the way, not all the way down, but. Mm-hmm.
So that dropping to a certain point before you hit the ground.
Before.
That's important.
That's the most important for me.
Wow.
Because you have your balance, and then you go to the home plate.
Yeah.
Do you use any video technology? Tape some of these guys.
We have videos, and we teach them how to get that balance. We have so many different drills.
Yeah.
You know, and we have in videos. We have in manuals.
Yeah, a couple of drills. If you could think, you know, like a couple of things you might do for balance.
Yeah,
to help our coaches out.
We do that. The first problem for us at that X point.
So you lift it and you bring it down. You don't touch the ground.
You remember? I forget the closer for the. He used to pitch with Seattle, the closer Dominican guy. That he don't lift his leg.
Yeah. Right. Right. I know who you're talking about.
Fernando Rodney. Yeah.
You see?
He's still pitching.
The way they teach him is you put a baseball in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You step on a baseball. That's your X point. You take the ball out, And he goes.
And now you go.
And then you go.
Ah.
So you kick down, boom, go to home plate.
Is that X points different for every player?
For each pitcher.
Each pitcher.
Tim Lincecum.
Because they have a different.
Yeah. The Giants.
Lincecum.
Like sometimes they turn, sometimes they let.
Sure.
Because you want him to finish his leg before he start moving to the plate.
Mm. So a lot of players, they may not go to that point. They may be going earlier.
That's why they don't have
that. And now that changes your whole balance.
Oh, they lost balance. They lost power. They lost everything.
You see now when you do that, you see correction in the upper body and everything? Or can once, because now you're going to land, right?
Yes. Now,
talk about the landing spot, how important that might be. You know, and is it different for every player?
See, the thing is, with everything comes to the balance. Okay, like you say, some pitchers don't go down to the X point, and they lost balance, they lost power, they lost control. They don't have the control.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have that balance, the good balance, you go straight to the catcher. And you don't land it across your body or open your body or open the front side. Yeah. Always going to be close because you have the balance.
And how do you utilize the technology? You're videotaping this so that way they can see it where they're at?
Yeah, I have a lot of videos of the different pitches. We have the different X point.
Mm-hmm.
We have a different way they're landing, you know. But the important thing here there is that we show you good moves and bad moves. Because if you only show a good move, then nothing, but you show both. Now they know.
Sure.
How you will do it.
All right, we mentioned balance now. What else do you concentrate on? Let's say a pitcher has pretty good balance. What's the next phase that you might work on to make sure that they're being developed correctly?
Another thing is finish the back leg.
Mm.
Because a lot of players don't finish the back leg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you throw the ball, finish.
How would the back leg look? How does it come? Does it come a certain way?
No, everybody's different.
Yeah.
That's the pain, like the your arm angle.
Yes.
That's why they have big difference.
Yes.
You know?
You see some pitchers, you know, Greg Maddux, when he threw, you know, he threw it, and then, boy, he had a couple hops, and he was in a fielding position.
Exactly.
But some guys aren't. Some guys are turned to this side. Some guys... Some guys fall, and they're never going to get the ball. But are you more worried about throwing strikes, or are you more worried about the fielding aspect?
You worry about more throw strike.
Yeah.
Because you want to... If you throw a strike, you're going to get people out.
Right. You got a defense behind you.
You got a defense behind you.
Hopefully.
That's right.
The hope.
You know, but you have to just worry about throw strike.
Yeah.
About fielding, when you pitching, every time you got ground ball back to you, you think that ball came at maybe 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, you know, but you don't worry about catching ground ball. Worry about pitching.
Here at the WBSC Premier 12, we see a lot of different type of pitchers. A lot of different movement on balls. You know, you got the Japanese, the Taiwanese, extremely good control. Where do you start with the pitches with the kids, with the young players at the academy? What do you recommend? You got fastball. You know, what's the next pitch if you work on it? How do you know when to start working on that next pitch? What do you guys focus on?
The first thing we focus on is fastballs.
Yeah.
Four-seam fastball, you know, because you have to get a little bit of control.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to get a control.
It's tough.
But fastball. And then we maybe change up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? After that, they show some improvement, some control with those two pitches. Now we work another kind of pitch. You know, that's depend on his hand.
Oh, the progression is going.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, like...
So hand size as a...
Yeah, for me, they do.
It makes sense because...
Even like the arm angle.
Yeah.
Because you see some pitches go a little bit higher, so a good curveball.
There was one pitcher a handful of years ago, pitched for the Giants, Jonathan Sanchez. They said this guy, yeah, well, he had a great, great talented pitcher, had a couple good years with the Giants, but the only problem is there were certain pitches he had problems with because his hands were too small.
Too small, exactly,
yeah,
correct.
And he actually threw a no-hitter, but he just relied on the fastball and changing speeds. But then he became predictable. That's why he didn't last very long, because he couldn't do any other pitches because his hands are too small. So, like you said, you look for the good size,
yeah, big, exactly,
big hand, good fingers, and you know.
But you know, this game is adjustment.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing.
Make do. Yeah.
Yeah, adjustment. Teaching this guy, this kid. I look for like every little thing that I can work with him. Because, and sometimes I had to say, I think, the correct word for them to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because you say, like, oh, the arm angle. But I say a different word. Like, or the other thing I explain to them is boxing or ride a bike.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because you see some guys, when they do the they start doing the windup, they stop the arm in front.
Mm.
How I explain to them is wrong. Like, we try so many different ways, but I say, let me see. Okay, if you run, you came in the bike at full speed, that's what the wall is right there. Where you start, stop your bike? Right here? Mm. You say, no, well, over there. You see, that's the same thing with your arm.
With the finish.
If you stop your arm right in front,
sure,
man, you stop. You start the make the stop. Soon you start. Mm-hmm. Soon you separate your arm.
And if you don't have that good finish, you're going to create some injuries.
Exactly.
That's a lot of stress on the arm, shoulder.
A lot. And no control, no speed. When you repeat, you want speed.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you want. But if you stop your arm.
But that's a great example. It's like running through first base. When you run through first base, if you stop at the base, you slow down early, right?
Yeah.
If you run through the base, you do it. You did it at the maximum speed. That's another whole ball game, because we've seen a lot of science between guys, you know, sliding head first to first base.
Yeah.
And science shows it's too slow, but yet we still see it day in and day out. Okay. We saw it here at the WBC event. Yeah. You know, that they want to dive head first, and he goes out
to see if he can beat the
play. Yeah.
I was going to ask you, Enrique, the academy, do you have a good staff? You got how many people do you have around the company?
Yeah, from the MLB, we just two.
Okay.
Two guys.
Okay.
I'm the pitching coach,
mm-hmm,
and the other guy from Dominican, mm-hmm, he live in Spain. He's run the whole academy.
Okay.
He's a specialist in infielders.
Oh, infielders as well.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
We have three guys work with me with pitchings, because we have 22 pitchers.
Wow.
You know, we have 22 pitchers. We have a coach. They're Brazilian, catcher, for the special for catcher, outfielder,
mm-hmm,
and trainer. We have a trainer and strength conditioner.
How about a hitting instructor? Do you have
a... Right now, they don't send like the hitting instructor, because right now we don't have no hitters.
Right.
Okay, it's all working on their mechanics.
And it sounds like pitching.
Yeah, it's like
right?
Pitching.
And defense, huh?
Yeah, and defense.
Okay.
Because it's like we say, out of the 17, 15 are pitcher.
Okay,
and all those prospects we got are pitcher right now.
Okay, so this is focusing mainly on pitching and defense for right now, and then later.
Right now we
expand the academy.
Exactly,
maybe.
Okay. We have a kid, 15 years old, that turned 92, left hander, 6'3", 6'4".
92 already, yeah.
Yeah.
Good control?
He so, got a little bit, you know, but... Hey, that arm
is there. That's why he's
there. That arm is there.
And what a great mentor to have.
Yeah,
a
exactly.
Left-handed pitcher, pitching the big leagues, understands the game.
Absolutely.
Hey, I want to give out a shout-out to George Adzuka, the president of Brazil Baseball. I've known him for about 30 years, maybe more. What a great individual to work with throughout the world. I know you know George, and his son also is heavily involved in the program. You know, they're doing the right thing there in Brazil.
Exactly. They do the thing. They want the baseball grow in Brazil. They have a lot of tournaments. You know, they have more kids. In like 2 weeks ago, they have the T-ball tournament,
mm-hmm,
and that was awesome.
A lot of kids.
A lot of kids.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
That's where it all starts.
And we saw a little kid talk to us, because we watching the game, and they have two twins. You know, pair of two kids, and then they can play. And one of them come to me and say, in 2-3 years, I'll be here with you, because I want to be a pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah. And they're seeing a goal. They're seeing a light at the end of the tunnel there. That's interesting. I want to get back again, just jump back quickly. When we talked about, you know, Jeff Crochelle obviously is handling the conditioning and the strength and all the workouts. I know you're concerned with the pitching aspect, the shoulders. What do you recommend to some of the coaches that you might do to help them with the, you know, preventing injuries? I know it's not perfect, you know, it's not perfect science, but what do you guys work with at the academy a little bit? Are there bands or what do you work with?
Well, they do everything.
Yeah.
You know, they work with the bands. Mm-hmm. They do with those, I don't know how you say that, heavy balls.
Yeah, weighted balls. Like
weighted
balls. Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And they have a lot of new thing. Like for me, it's new that I don't know how to say it.
But it's the strength in the body.
Yeah, it's strength, yeah, yes.
They're strengthening the right areas.
Right, that's they important. Do a lot of sit-ups. They do...
That's an interesting aspect, because we don't do enough sit-ups. I know Japanese in high school, you know, I visited many high schools, told me they do 400 sit-ups a day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how important is the stomach, you know, and the back?
Back, very, very important.
Like everybody thinks we pitch it with the arm.
Yeah.
We not.
It's our core.
Yeah. Here.
And there.
And there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you... strong here, but you weak in the back, it's not nothing.
How do you find out these kids, you know, as they're developing? I know they're young, but how do you find out the mental aspect, the mentality of, you know, being a pitcher, if they're ready for it? Or is there any training for that, you know, to prepare them? Because, you know, baseball is a game of failure, there's no doubt. They're going to fail more times, especially hitting. That's the obvious one. But pitching, too, is not an easy task. You know, and kids get frustrated sometimes. I can't throw strikes. I know you're there to teach them, but is there a mental part of this game that's important?
Yeah, when they start in the academy, the first thing I say, don't worry about throw strike. Mm. Right now, I don't care if you throw strike or not.
Yeah.
I wanted you clear your mechanic real good, so you when you have the correct mechanic, now you're going to throw strike. Now you're going to have more velocity. But first, we work with mechanic. Don't worry about throw hard, because, you know, every kid want to throw hard.
Yeah.
Right. Overdo it. Over-impress.
It's it. Yeah. Exactly. I said, no. I know you're going to throw hard. But go step by step. You know, step by step. And back to the question, they do a lot of exercise in the gyms. Don't know what that with a heavyweight. But they have the
lightweight.
Yeah.
Kind of like equipment they use for rehab.
Exactly.
Therapeutic.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, for physical therapy type.
Correct. They do a lot of aerobic running.
Oh, yeah, aerobic running, sure.
Yeah,
back in. It's not as much long distance running.
Like, it's more like explosion.
Sprint. But lateral movements, exactly. Forward, backwards, yes. Angles. Now, when you get these kids, and we're coming close, just so you know, folks, close to the end of the show, but we got a few more questions we want to ask. I know Michael's got a ton of questions he wants to ask.
I'd like to save it for another time.
That's right. but, you know, when it comes to these kids, you know, the language, they sign. How do you prepare them to go to the U.S.? Because that's a cultural shock for some of these kids, and you can't just shoot them there and say, have a good time.
See, the way we practice is the same way a big league team practice. Hmm. Same thing, spring training. We tell them that what we do in Brazil, that's the same thing they will do in Dominican, or the same thing we'll do in Brazil, in the States, if mm-hmm. they sign. And we try to do the same thing, you know. We have those meetings, the stretching, and even everything is in English.
Mm-hmm. Sort of learn English?
Yeah, everything is
That's important.
Everything is in English. Yeah. When you're in the field, you talk English. Well, you might forget sometimes.
Sure.
But
that's how they learn.
English. Baseball in English.
Meals, money, or, you know, I got to go to McDonald's and order, you know.
Yes, exactly. I mean, correct.
And by the way, I still, folks, just so you know, Enrique and I also go back a little while, and I still remember the story when you told me about the young man. I know we're going back a long time, that was rooming with you. Remember? And you went in Miami. You guys were in Miami together. And we laugh about it, but it's reality. You know, I mean, the young man, I think, was from the Dominican, you know, and he didn't know how to order at McDonald's, so he just waited for everybody else to order. And if the guy said one, he said one.
He said one.
He ordered the same one, right? I mean, there's, you know, so, you know.
He don't know what he's going to eat, but he say one.
Yeah. Right.
That's like the old joke about the Russian who goes into a coffee shop and every day he ordered apple pie and coffee because he didn't know how to order, but everybody else was ordering apple pie and coffee.
Yeah.
And then they asked him, what was your name? And he goes, apple pie and coffee. That's the only words he knew, you know. So like I said, number one, that's it.
Yeah.
So it's important to train them, I mean, to get them ready for that.
Exactly. See, we even like when they sign in, the kids – coming back to work out with us, they tell us that, oh, the PFP we take here hit me a lot there.
Oh, yeah.
Everything I forget my English.
That's okay.
Because I think in Portuguese,
yeah,
in Spanish.
Yeah,
in
Spanish.
And
I do that in Italian, too.
Yeah.
Mike's doing it in Japanese.
What's that?
You're doing it in Japanese.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They had me a script. They said, here, read it in Japanese.
And you learned that 24 hours.
24 hours. Yeah. You know. No more English.
They even learn how to do the pitching chart.
Oh, wow. You're because preparing them just like the bat boys they prepare here.
Exactly. Exactly.
Same way.
It's and we tell them, you have to learn English. Everything you do in baseball got to be in English.
Well, we talked about, Mike, you know, we talked about the mental game. You know, we forget that. When these kids go to the U.S., if they're not accustomed with all this, it mentally affects them, which really then carries over into the field,
yeah.
Right? Because they're not, they could be homesick.
It could damage them. Damage
yeah, absolutely.
For a short time, yeah.
That's so. Probably as important as teaching them the pitching aspect.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, I want you to tell the coaches because, you know, a show like this, education-wise, we can ask a lot of questions. We'll be here for 5 hours. But sometimes even I miss questions that are important that you really wanted to mention to help coaches around the world. Is there anything you want to talk about when it comes to the pitching aspect or anything about baseball that you want to give advice to some of our coaches around the world that they should be working on that's important?
Yes.
Yeah, but like the one thing for me is important, like I said before, the balance for me.
Yeah.
You know, and let the guy have fun. The kid have fun.
That's big.
You know?
That's big.
Because, like, you see the kid for 5 minutes, and you want to change him, right away.
Yeah.
Let him show you.
So you let him do it, watch him for a while, before you make any decision on what you're going to change.
Because I have the experience that I have a guy that throw a little bit strange in the long toss,
yeah.
The warm up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a bit different when he go to the bullpen, but when he goes in the game,
Different parts of the game.
I was big difference.
Depends on what inning, yeah.
You know, and I ask him how you do that. He said, I don't know. One thing is play catch. Mm-hmm. Bullpen, nobody can hit. Nobody going to hit.
No hitter there.
But in the game, I have to get him out. You know? So let the guy show you what he can do. Mm. And then you work.
Yeah.
That's the best point, right?
It is. And I like you emphasize two things. The balance and let the guy show you what he can do before you start teaching. Because we all want to fall into changing guys right away.
Yeah. Right away. That's the thing. And now you work with that little thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Always work little things, step by step, because some coaches, like, they want to work legs and upper body. No. First we work one side, then we go the other side.
Yeah.
Because those kids, they don't take a lot of things when they practice. Like, you talk, the balance and the arm angle. Nah, they go first. Oh, worry about the balance. Balance. Right. Okay, you good? Now we go to the arm angle.
I love to hear that because we're really getting away from some of the basics.
Yeah. You know, baby steps, basics. That's
exactly.
Yeah, and you mentioned games. Since you mentioned it, I got to bring it up. You guys play games, obviously, at the academy. Preparation prior to the game, the pitcher that's going to pitch, how do you get him ready? What's the kind of a routine that you might do?
See, we don't have our routine.
Mm-hmm. Their routine.
We teach them how their own routine.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
You know, because if I pitch one way, you won't be the same as me. You know, he's different. Each pitcher have the own way to prepare for the game. Mm-hmm. When I get to down in Brazil the first year, we have a game, and a kid threw 85 pitches before he went
before to the he game. Went to the game.
Yeah, because they have that Japanese style.
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
you throw a lot.
Yeah,
you keep throwing
prior to the game.
Finish that inning, you go to the side and keep play catch.
Yeah,
but now it's different.
But you have to make sure that he's ready for the game.
Exactly.
So you're there to evaluate, to watch.
Yeah, I you know, we
what's some
we
of the things
try
you see?
That. Yeah, we try to explain that the less pitch you throw in the bullpen, you know, you will be better in the game. Because if you throw everything in the bullpen, nothing left for the game.
Is anything unique you see the guys doing, you know, different pitchers? Anything unique that they do prior to the game that you say, oh, that's interesting, or anything? I mean, are they just playing catch?
Yeah, they just
and then
play
doing
catch.
Long toss?
And one thing, they start getting better because they when they work ready for the game, they don't play long toss. They're always short. And when we get there, they say, hey, before the game, throw a long toss. They throw 6-7 pitches. I say, oh, man, my arm is good now.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And now they go to the bullpen, 5-6 pitches, they're ready.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
Very good.
But before, they throw a lot of pitches in the bullpen.
Yeah, right. Oh.
That's
again, that's another issue, but we can talk about that, you know, another show. Hey, let's end it with the WBSC Premier 12, this event that we've all been involved in. Love to get your take about the event. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe Michael will have some questions also about that. First with Enrique, what's your take about the event, everything you've seen right now with the teams?
Oh, it's a great event. Good teams. I haven't seen a game that is
been
not
all
really,
close.
All close.
Yeah.
Pitching, defense. I see that I like the defense because good defense. Mm-hmm. And they know how to play baseball, you know. And they do the right thing to try to win a game.
As your job as one of the technical commissioners for the tournament, what have you seen that you've liked or you've seen that something needs corrections on? Has it been pretty flawless so far, or do you think there's some...
It's a few things, you know. But everything down here, I've been in Korea and been down here, and I like the way they work. The ground crew work great.
Okay.
They have the field real.
And that's important.
That's important.
They have major injuries if it's not.
Yeah, prepare for the game, you know. That we have to have, you know, some different the time. In between innings, the time, but
and
I
that's related to television.
Yeah, I understand that in television, yeah. And
that's the money part.
That's right. The money part, but
I don't like the end of the fifth inning break. I really we don't do that in the majors.
Right.
I don't like here in the international game. I think it's
too long.
Too long slows the momentum down.
Correct.
That could be
correct.
Bad for your pitcher too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that could be a safety issue, but unfortunately, TV time pays the bills.
Yeah, you got to get
right?
that extra some extra cash.
Yeah,
more yen is needed here in Japan.
So. Would you see? Michael, that was interesting here. Anything you saw the teams doing, maybe prior to the game or anything?
Like Enrique, everything's pretty flawless. You know, I think, everybody's on. There's so many people to help. That's why there's a lot of people down there. Nothing should go wrong, and I haven't seen anything. You know, it's been pretty flawless. A couple typo errors, just the communication with the different languages. Some people had their names wrong on the graphics, but hey, we cleared that
up. But you catch those, clear them up.
Catch them right away.
Get them going.
Nobody knows about it. Yeah, so it works out. Well, that's the only thing. That's just because people are in a hurry trying to get it done, and they don't, you know, and they misspell some things or something like that. That's just a communication gap. But once you point it out, just like stuff that you guys have when you're running things as a technical commissioner, you're seeing things too. Maybe some stuff with the umpires because there's different countries and stuff. And then you find a small flaw and you correct it right away. And then boom, game on.
And what's amazing, there's so much to organize in these events. I mean, when you talk about
it takes from, a lot of people,
you know, the P announcers, the official scorers,
the broadcasters,
the on field, you know, grounds crew. Yeah. You name it, just go through it. There's so much to coordinate. The umpires, you know, I mean, little things, you know, the baseballs, you know, you got to make sure the baseball's there. Without baseballs, you ain't playing this game.
Somebody forgot the bag of balls. Oh, okay.
Where they got locked in a closet. We got to find the key. That happens.
And I want to mention the WBSC does a great job. They have a really great staff. They work all over the world. And
that's what I'm saying. It's so hard, and they do a fantastic job.
Some of these guys are up there working like 15, 16 hours a day. You see them like at 8 o'clock at night, and then you come back maybe 6 in the morning, and they're still in the office. They haven't gotten to bed yet.
Yeah.
And they work their tail off. They need some more help. Too,
and they have to prepare us. I mean, they're getting everything ready for us. And like us in a technical committee, as you know, You know, we've got a responsibility on the field, a lot of things with the managers, the protests, you know,
video replay stuff.
Video replays. But, we got to worry about batting practice, the times. We got to worry about the cultures of different teams. They're used to doing different things prior to the game. Well, you know, this is the WBSC Premier 12 event. We have protocols that they have to follow and very important. And sometimes, you know, we just have to remind them that, you know, that you can't,
exactly great.
Yeah, you can't do this. It's you're not in your country right now. Yeah. Well, if you are, guys, if you're Japan.
Yeah, because a lot of guys say, ah, play professional. Yes, you play professional, but like you say, here is not professional.
Yeah.
WBSC.
Yeah, exactly.
Different.
Yeah. I was going to say, WBSC.org is the website to get all the results of the tournament, all the action, and, all, and they have highlights, video highlights, and all
you
the
can
good
get
stuff.
It, you can watch the game live, right? On.
I think it's... Facebook.
Facebook, I know. You
YouTube,
can check it out.
Maybe?
You could go YouTube, Facebook. Yeah. You can check out the WBSC.org.
Get updates on Twitter as well. So it's WBSC.org. Or you, I think you can actually log on to Premier12.org.
I believe so.
Yeah, it's, you can get all, just get on and, your computer. Get a, make sure you have Wi-Fi. You can get everything.
And be patient because sometimes there might be a blackout on the internet because of where it's being played.
Yeah.
But you can also see it afterwards. You can check it out afterwards.
On tape delay.
Yeah, so yeah, that... So. Right. Fantastic. Anything else, guys, you want to talk about, you want to mention about the WBSC Premier 12 event? If not, we're going to close it off with Michael Carlucci first.
Well, but I do have a quick joke. Can you do a little Little League joke? Is that cool? You're going to like this joke.
Is it clean?
Well, it's not, but I'm going to change it. Just the word blank will be replacing one of the bad words.
Is this going to be the Joe Rogan special?
No, Joe will use the dirty word. So. No, so these two kids had a great game during their Little League game, so they're having dinner. The two boys, they both got hits and doubles, had a super game. So the mother's preparing dinner, and she asks the first son, he goes, hey, son, how was that game? He goes, Mom, I had a blankety-blank, great blankety game. I had three triples, two doubles. She goes, what did you say? Oh, I had a blankety-blank, great game. She smacks him across the head, right? And then she goes, son, the brother, oh, how did you do in the game, son? He goes, well, I didn't have that good a game. I struck out three times.
He was afraid to get whacked.
Yeah, he was going to say So that's my joke of the day.
That's
baseball
right.
joke.
Folks,
so.
If you didn't notice, we'd love to have fun on the show, but we love to have fun during the event.
As well.
We have a great time. We think, you know, that's how you learn and that's how you make life exciting. If you're, you know, if you're not having fun, why are we doing it?
Yeah.
You know, so we have a blast at it. So,
pack
Michael, close it off for us.
Pack up and go home. Yes, right. Mike Carlucci Broadcast, Carlucci Broadcast International, part of The Bottom Line. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe. And, of course, we thank our great guests. A lot of good information, a pitching coordinator of the academy there in Brazil, Enrique Burgos. A lot of experience. And if you know of any Brazilians need some pitching instruction, this is the man to talk to. So, nonetheless, Peter, I want you to close our show. Talk about the things on your show.
Your Spanish is getting pretty good.
Sometimes.
Burgos.
Poquito.
Good job.
Yeah. My safety Spanish words are mucho libros en la biblioteca.
Hey.
Oh, hey, opa. Folks. Did you hear that voice? That's why he's the PA guy here. Formerly of the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers PA system.
And the MLB The Show for 22 years, the video game.
You know, brought that up, so you got to tell
the story. One of the broadcasters, they have a lot of great broadcasters covering this game, and I think his first name is Tyler. Just met him last night. He said that when I started doing the MLB The Show video game, he goes, yeah, man, when I was 7, 8 years old, I was playing your video game. He goes, I came to the game. I go, I didn't recognize that noise. I think he's from the video game. So, a young kid named, young man now, Tyler. So, but all the broadcasters do a great job.
That
so
makes us feel good. No, he was 7 years old.
Now I feel like a grandpa age. But nonetheless, Pete.
And Enrique, thanks for being on the show, buddy.
Thank you for you guys inviting me here, though.
Yeah, a lot of good information.
And we have a lot of fun today.
Yes.
And especially when we're
more times.
And we're going to have more today, the rest of the day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great.
It's great to meet this guy. I'm glad this is the first time I met him, and he's a super guy. So
all right,
glad
folks,
to meet you, Enrique.
Thank you very much for joining the show. Thanks to Enrique Burgos, Michael Carlucci, Pete Caliendo. I'm the host of Baseball Outside the Box. I want to thank all of you in the U.S. and around the world for joining the show. Don't forget to check us out on all the social media networks, Baseball Outside the Box. It's Baseball Out on Twitter, Instagram, also on Facebook. So thanks, everybody around the world. And guess what? We will see you on the next show.
Sayonara.
Sayonara.
Hasta la vista.
Baby. You got to say baby.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.